This conference is being recorded.
Hey, I had to set up the recording.
Hey, very good, very good. How you been?
Okay, how about you?
I'm pretty good, I'm pretty good. Now you're getting ready to move, aren't you?
I am. 2 weeks from today.
Whoa, you're...
They load the truck, yeah. Did I hear someone else come in? No, I guess it's just us. I thought I heard a beep. Anyway, yeah, so I actually am not driving out myself until tomorrow. I mean, until 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Okay.
But they're loading the truck 2 weeks from today. So in my mind, that's effectively moving date because I won't have my stuff anymore.
Right,
so,
right.
And I'm gradually getting packed. And I'm going to, once this call is over, actually I had a meeting in a building that wasn't mine, and so I drove in for that meeting, and then I came home because I'm only like a mile and a half from where that meeting was, and so when we're done with this call, I'm going to go into my office, and I'm going to pack for till about probably 7:30 tonight, work on cleaning my office out, because I can't seem to make any progress on purging and packing in my office during business hours. Because people keep finding me, right? You know, like, it's really hard to think about whether you need to throw certain things out if you know you're going to get interrupted at any time. So I decided Friday night would make sense.
No kidding.
Okay. Who just came in?
Hi, it's Lee.
Hey, Lee. We are recording.
I know.
You can
ignore
the first couple minutes because it was me talking about packing my office tonight.
Yeah, okay.
Someone
Hello.
Else?
Hello. Alejandra?
Yes, this is me.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
Oh, okay, Randy is not coming. So we're waiting for Larry and Felicity. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm going to suggest, since Lee is going to leave early, do we want to... Lee, is there anything that you and I need to report from the literature stuff?
No, not really. I just posted it on the... I posted on Learn this morning.
Okay.
I guess if we could pick the date first for the next call, then that would...
Might be a good idea, hey?
Yeah.
Hello from El Paso.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Renzo.
So are we all here?
Almost. Felicity has yet to...
Okay. Randy says he won't be able to, right?
Right. So we're just one more, and we're thinking about picking the date first because Lee has to depart early.
Okay.
For the next call.
Next date being January?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, we had set up our call so long ago, and then the curriculum committee for the college picked a meeting for this afternoon, and I have proposals going up, so I have to be there.
Sure. We understand.
Everybody has the same thing, right? I mean, you know, when certain people call meetings, you have to be there.
Right.
So,
yep. No doubt. Now, things went well last month, Lee?
Yeah, actually, I had my prospectus meeting yesterday, and my committee approved my dissertation topic.
Yay.
Actually, that was Wednesday, sorry. But, yeah, whatever. I can't keep my day straight this week. But yeah.
It was this week. Yay, me.
So it's very exciting.
Yes, it is. In the right direction, kiddo.
Yep.
Now, you don't have a lot of steps to go, but this is one
right.
to have done, which is good. Which is good. Can we start throwing around dates? Does anybody...
Sure. How about the second week?
What does that mean?
Is that starting with the 11th or?
The 12th.
Okay. I can't do on the 12th. I have a conference all day that I'm at.
If we're going to do that week, I'd probably rather wait until the end of the week because that's the first week of classes at NKU and I'm going to be freaked out about
Oh, yeah.
The previous week, then.
So, no, the previous week I'm at the joint meetings. So, can we do, like, Friday the 16th?
Friday the, say it again, the 16th?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I could do the afternoon. like this time or later?
I teach until 2. Oh, I don't have, wait on, classes don't start till the 20th. Never mind, I was going to say I teach on Fridays, but classes don't start till next week. Sorry.
Okay.
So I could do any time on the 16th.
Preferences for time?
I can do any time. To the best of my knowledge, I can do any time, but that's, I don't know things like orientation times, and I mean, I think I know my teaching schedule, but that's going to be true for any date. So I think that we shouldn't schedule around my time because I just don't have enough information yet.
I understand.
So time, and if I can't be there, then someone else will chair.
Yep.
So Rebecca, you said you can do this time or after.
Right. Right.
Did you want to do this time?
Sounds good to me. As long as Felicity shows up here, we'll be good to go.
Okay, so it's 1 p.m. Eastern. Okay, somebody, if somebody would do me a favor, because I'm going to be switching time zones, and when I put stuff into my calendar, like if I put it in at noon Central, then when I move, it may or may not change correctly. So just, you know, because I screwed up the time once before. So if someone, as we get closer to that, can remind me that it's at 1 p.m. Eastern so that I'm not screwed up.
Because okay.
I just don't know what my calendar is going to do, and I'm not going to think to look. You know, because sometimes they just say automatically change. Right? Like if I have my phone set to automatically change time zones, which I want, then it thinks that's true for the calendar, too. So
right.
I can't help this.
Yeah.
When are you changing time? I will change times on Saturday, December 20th. Because I'll be in St. Louis. Sunday, December 21st, if the weather allows me to drive those 2 days that weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's so soon.
It really is so soon. But that's okay. I'm ready. There are certain things that are going to be really hard to leave, and there are other things that I just can't wait to get away from.
and that part wins the other one. So
it really, well, because I have myself convinced that the things that are going to be really hard to leave, I can reproduce later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I love my house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but I can probably find another house that I like. Right, but you know, my colleague's an asshole. Oh, that was reported. But okay, it's not like I wouldn't say that in public, and he knows I think that. And so hopefully,
and you
I'll
said
be
it on Facebook
in for four people I like. Right? I mean,
uh-huh.
Trading in one jerk for four awesome people should be good, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Should be.
All right.
It should be. Let's hope they turn out to be as awesome as you think, or at least half as awesome.
Everything that I hear from people is that people there. Okay, so when people talk about OU, they ask questions like, is the math department at OU still as dysfunctional as it used to be? And when people talk about NKU, they say things like, you know, the people there are really awesome.
Wow.
That community attitude walks out on this.
Wow.
But trading in one jerk for four jerks would suck, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
That's great.
And if it does, as I keep saying this week, I'm a tenured full professor at OU, so I can apparently come back here and do no work. I have evidence that it's possible to do no work and have no penalty here. So,
wow.
That would be my colleague.
Yeah, well, they might all have a limit of one, TJ.
So, yeah, well, she'll retire.
Okay, well, I say it looks like Felicity may not show, so shall we kind of... Yeah, get to work. Not that I want to cut anybody off, but...
Nope. Let's do work.
Yep.
All about doing the work.
Did everyone get the email from Alejandra and me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I haven't looked at it yet. I feel guilty.
Okay.
Oh, no. This was not by any means to... You didn't have to do anything. We just wanted to get ahead of ourselves, so I didn't have to do it while the conference call.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So,
do you want to take us through that? Is that...
A think it's our most important task.
Yeah, so we're assigning homework here. So one of the exciting parts of this project that I like is able to validate the efficacy instrument with some content. And that's the way it was for the other one and efficacy, but just for learning statistics. And of course, they had an easier time because, you know, they were doing intro to stats content, and those are very, you know, you can find items that match nicely with the expectation. Well, not, you know, I'm not saying that wasn't a hard work for them, but I think for us it's a little more difficult because we're put in this teaching, learning context. And so, but I do like the idea of validating this way so that when teachers say they're confident to teach certain stuff, then we back it up and we say, you know, that means they can also do it.
Mm-hmm.
They think they can do it. It's been my experience that actually teachers are overconfident. They say they can, and actually they cannot.
Well, actually, they don't know that they don't know. Right?
Well, maybe they're just focused on a more procedural level than a conceptual level.
Yeah.
Or part of it just may be a general psychological thing that everyone likes to think of themselves as, like for example, I always try this with my intro stats students. I'll say, do you think that you are, is it more accurate to say you're an above average driver or below average driver? And of course, statistically, that should be about half and half, right? but no one likes to think of themselves as a below average driver, so like always 90%+ of people feel that they're above average, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's probably that way with teaching too.
No kidding.
but I have my worries because, you know, when we add that component, then the instrument is long enough, you know, just to answer, are you confident or do your level of confidence on each one? And then on top of it, there's this practically like a final test. You know, a very long content test that they need to answer. And, you know, when we try to think of items that get to the expectations, then we start thinking creatively, and then the items become very exciting, but at the same time long. And so I don't know how to work with that.
Other thoughts here?
So I don't know if what I'm saying is that I think this we should do this. We should, you know, have a best attempt to do this validation, content validation part, and come up with our best items. And I gave you we worked out too with Larry just to give you an idea of what we were thinking. But the more I think about it, you know, I don't know if this should be an aside project and just to work with the other piece and do a pilot just on that part and working on the – Lee already did some, right, Lee? Working on the language of those expectations and I don't know.
Well, I think that one of the things that the teacher said when they filled out, when they were looking at the items we had, which didn't have the validate, the other, which didn't have the, okay, I'm going to put this, the ones they answered using the scale,
right, yeah.
There were wording issues on that. And so I think we need to test pilot that to get those wording issues worked out.
Okay.
Possibly concurrently while working on the other questions.
Because so are you saying that the what you piloted were the 10 level of confidence for level A and the 14 items for level B?
Right. Well, there weren't 24 items when I did it. There were
okay.
There was like 12 items or 13 items when I from what I had.
I think it's at the level B part.
I had the level B part. Okay.
Okay.
They, for instance, the question that says recognize the role of sampling error. None of them knew what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't answer the question because everyone wrote a question mark next to it going, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. And so...
And then what about things like anticipates a deterministic answer, you know?
Right, yeah, they didn't like that one either.
well, yeah. Do you think maybe we should have for this piloting perhaps an option that says, I don't understand the terms? I don't understand the question. I mean, I'm just saying for the pilot, you know, that...
Right, yeah.
That's right. They will...
They can rank their level of confidence. I understand this question very much.
I don't know. I just... Because recognize the role of sampling error. Okay.
So yeah, I keep feeling like that's a sentence fragment. You know, the
right.
role of sampling error in something.
Right, yeah.
In doing something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's no context there. You can't really
right.
figure out. I mean, okay.
Like in opinion polling or, you know, whatever.
And I think one of the other ones they had was something like for the one measures of association, like there the one person said, well, do you mean a correlation coefficient? And I said, well, yeah, that's one, I'm assuming. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the guidelines say specifically only a correlation coefficient or if they mean, like, looking at covariance, too, or, you know, whatever. But if maybe we give, you know, in parentheses, put something like such as.
Right. It's because the GACE framework is written in general terms, right?
Right.
So, but I agree with Lee. If we can just put some words there that get to that, words that they can recognize more as topics when they have learned it. So we can say including, you know, this and that. And
right, and the other thing is where we have box plots, one of the suggestions that I have is not everyone refers to it as a box plot, some refer to it as box and whisker.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So that didn't come out of the study per se, but I mean that's something that we should look at as some people call it the other.
Actually, I just read the other day an article in The American Statistician, and they use the terms in a very distinct way. They call a box plot sort of like the simple thing where the vertical lines go to the minimum and maximum, and they use the term box and whiskers plot when you go to something like, you know, 1.5 interquartile ranges beyond the quartiles. So I don't know if that particular distinction is standard terminology, but because they're often used as synonyms, so I don't know.
So are you saying, Larry, that they're identifying outliers?
Right, but the box and whiskers plot, by having the whiskers go only to 1.5 interquartile ranges beyond the quartiles, any points that are even further out get to be denoted with a star or something so that you know those are, yeah, outliers in some sense.
Well, I know in Minitab that's called a modified box plot.
Okay, and I've seen some books call one a regular box plot versus a skeletal box plot. I mean, just there's so many different variations on this. One question I have, though, is in an earlier conference call, did we talk about the idea of approaching someone like Joan or someone who was one of the GAYS writing team people to ask them, like, what exactly did you have in mind with this and what were you intending as an example of that? Am I remembering that right?
I think so.
That's about it, yeah.
I don't know if we anybody to do that or said when we were going to do that.
Okay. Because I don't know if that would help the writing process a little bit or not, or if we should just take our best shot at it and not try to tap into that.
So, Lee, have you, like, how many people did you do this with?
13.
13? Mm-hmm. And have you tabulated their results or anything? I mean, you know, are you just...
Well, the problem is they had, there were like three or four questions that people put question mark next to, and then some of them just skipped question mark, skipped questions.
Uh-huh.
So it's not really usable for anything other than saying, we have, you know, the ones that they wrote question marks next to, we know, and I sent those those three question numbers to Larry and Alejandra a while ago. I can't remember which ones they were now. I know I'm pretty sure number one was one. And then,
say that again, Lee. You sent us something.
Yeah, I sent you an email with the question numbers.
Uh huh.
That the teachers had had questions with.
Oh. I don't remember. Okay, I need to check my.
I can go back and look at it this weekend.
Well, you've mentioned two, and on our current list, one of those was number seven, and
right.
The other was...
they didn't like the first question about the data that vary in deterministic quant.
Okay.
The other one was the role of sampling error, and then...
the strength of... No.
I think the other one was the measure of association.
Yeah, I saw that a minute ago. Now I can't seem to put my finger on it.
That's 11 and B.
11, interpret measures of association?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Because the numbers might have changed now. I don't know.
Right,
And these were, the 13 that you tried it with were people that were...
They were in-service teachers, because that's all I could get here.
Okay, in-service,
mm-hmm.
Middle school...
Some were middle school, some were elementary school.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But even the first question, I mean, the one about the question, you know, that one, either of them should be able to, you know what I mean? Like, that one's pretty, I don't know. But yeah, so most of them were not in school right now, and so they wouldn't be familiar with, I mean, so they're a little away from having any statistics courses.
So they weren't teaching statistics.
They were in their curriculums. The Virginia SOLs have some statistics and probability at the elementary and at the elementary level. And they mostly do means, scatter plots. They do range. They don't necessarily do. They don't get into standard deviation. I don't think until like middle school. They do range. And they do looking at graphs and saying, is one more variable than, is, you know, which group's more variable than the other. So it's...
Really? They do that and...
At different levels. Like,
okay.
There's different SOLs for each grade.
What do you mean by SOL?
Oh, standards of learning. Sorry.
Okay,
it's the
that's
Virginia
right.
requirements.
Yeah.
And so they were saying that they don't... There's some things they don't calculate, but they look at graphs that are given to them, and they have to answer some questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lee, I went to MSU for a conference, and I met someone from a math educator in Virginia Tech.
Did you meet Jay?
No. When?
Hmm.
When, and she talked about teaching pre-service teachers.
Hmm.
What's her last name? I don't remember. She couldn't.
Oh, Gwen. Gwen Lloyd.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, Gwen Lloyd.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't use her. I used the other guy in the math ed department, Jay Wilkins.
Uh-huh. So. Oh, good. Okay. It's just that I thought about you.
Okay, so...
Actually, one other small world thing. The ESCOTS website, I don't know if you all have seen it lately, for ESCOTS 2009, it's got like a link you can click on it, and it's got like this little trailer promotional video for the conference, and what it is it's snapshots of from 2007, and some of us are in there.
Oh!
I'm pretty sure I saw Lee in there, and they got me at the buffet
really?
Line stuff in my face. Yeah.
I haven't watched that.
Actually, I want to talk about that. Are we supposed to reserve already rooms and all that?
So let's see. Y'all got that email from Bob or Joan recently?
Yeah, it still didn't answer all the questions we had, though.
No, it didn't. And part of it is because they're still trying to look into some additional funding possibilities that might end up covering more than they've been able to guarantee so far. So, but as far as reservations, I mean, you know, I would if you the Blackwell does sell, you know, fill up and sell out, and then you have to walk for further from another hotel. So if you really want to stay at the conference hotel, it doesn't cost anything to make a reservation, you know. So I would say go ahead and make your reservation for the days that you know, the most days that you would think you would be there, and then we'll figure out, you know, what money might be available to cover later.
Are they taking reservations already?
I would think that the hotel is taking reservations. I wouldn't book plane flights just yet, but hotel reservations, that you might as well go ahead and do that.
Because they tried and they got some error. I mean, online.
Oh, really? Oh.
Maybe I did something wrong.
Well, I guess my question is, so it said that there's going to be something post-conference. So I'm assuming that means that we're doing something Saturday after it ends, like last time?
Saturday afternoon, probably.
Okay. But the other question we had is, did we have to be there before the conference for anything?
Well, not the before the conference is probably more for the next cohort of people. But there is this pre-conference workshop called Catalyst. I don't know if Joan mentioned that or not in her email.
And it's
you know, it's one of Joan's amazing acronyms, but I forget what it stands for. but it's this project that you know, is trying to, you know, do all the good stuff she's doing, and so they're looking for some additional people to be part of that. But you know, again, the exact number of spaces they have and the exact funding they have is still being fleshed out. But that may be an additional vehicle to cover someone's costs, because if they pay for someone to come in for the Catalyst, then they're there for us cuts also. It's like a package deal kind of thing, you know.
Right.
So that's sort of another thing that she's looking into. And so that would be the day before us cuts, or at least the morning of us cuts, you know.
And it officially starts, help me out, Larry, remembering again. Is it the 25th?
Let's see. Yeah. The first official day of the regular ESCOTS is the 25th. So it's the 25th, 26th, and the 27th, those 3 days.
Uh-huh. And then another question I have from Joan's email is, we are encouraged as a cluster to submit a poster.
It said as a cluster?
Well, I think so. Did you all, the rest of you?
But I understood that one cluster is being invited and then the other two are encouraged to do the poster.
Let me just see if I can find that same email.
They also want to invite the cluster participants. We would like the other two research clusters to share their work in spotlight poster sessions this year, and perhaps in a breakout session in the next USCOTS.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I remember we spent a long time trying to figure that piece out because, you know, there's a sense in which obviously we'd like to have all three cluster groups profiled, but we were only given three total sessions, and we had other things that we also wanted to do in some of the other sessions. And so we finally realized that we just, you know, that there was room really just for one cluster. And plus, the ESCOTS people were being very insistent that they could only provide funding for, you know, like a couple of people per breakout session, that you know, you can't say, well, we've got a team of six people, so fund all six of us. It's like they weren't going to go for that. So we were just really racking our brains trying to figure it out. And so I think they really mean what they're saying, that that were they picked the one they picked, I think, because it just seemed to, in some sense, they're perhaps further along in some ways. I mean, they've already submitted like a full length research paper on their work so far, for example, and they illustrate some of the things that I mean probably the biggest piece of it is also the interactive thing, because the breakout sessions are really intended not just to be talks, but things that can be interactive. And so I think the consensus most of the people was that the lexical ambiguity stuff really would lend itself to an interactive nature, because you could give, you know, people could be in small groups and kind of bounce off pieces of it with each other kind of live and then, you know, tie it all together. So I think that was sort of another factor why theirs was picked for the breakout session, but we very much want all the clusters to be represented in one form or another. And so that's why there really is a very strong encouragement to do some kind of a poster and beyond session. So whichever of us are able to actually attend USCOTS, I assume all of us, but if not, then whatever subset of us are there can be. And actually, sometimes the poster sessions are just as, you know, you get more of a chance to really talk to individuals one-on-one as they come up to the poster, and you can get, you know, I think more depth of feedback that way than if you just sort of do a collective presentation with, you know, 50 people at once kind of thing, you know. And then hopefully by USCOTS 2011, you know, we will have been published in Surge and JSE and all these other places, and then we'll be the one that's featured in the breakout session. So.
And also I think they have to be loyal to the theme, right, to the theme of the conference.
Oh, letting go to grow, right. Yeah, we had a lot of interesting discussions about what that could mean. I mean, so that's, I don't think that's the main factor, but yeah, that was part of it.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to come back to my question. We probably need to work on submitting that, because I was going to the website right now trying to figure out what is it that we have to submit.
Right. That's the poster abstract thing isn't due to, like, I think March 1st or something, or maybe even later than that.
It is last year, or whatever, USCOTS submitted a poster. And it's not, you know, you do an abstract. They do review it, though, and they invite you.
Uh-huh.
I was actually, 2007, Jackie Miller, me, and I'm blanking on his name, but he's an Ohio guy. The three of us. Huh?
Dennis?
No, it wasn't Dennis. It was. Blanking. Okay. The three of us actually were the review committee for that, and we got, like, 55 submissions, and probably about 90% were accepted. So, I mean, it was very strong acceptance rate, or very high acceptance rate. But there were some that were rejected for, you know, because we felt like it wasn't either that it would not be interactive enough, or that it was just too specialized and would not be of much interest beyond, like, two people at the whole conference or something. But I don't think those would apply to what we would be doing, so I think we've got a good shot.
We have to think about clever ways to spice it up in terms of interactivity and I had some Skittles and cups and things when I did mine. So.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Michael Posner did a live interactive magic trick over and over for people. Do you remember? Y'all remember that?
Remember that? Yeah.
He had a statistically based magic trick that he had done some work with.
Yeah. So the idea is to catch people's attention, and besides telling the story, you know, demonstrating something.
Right. Right.
Okay, so we don't really need to do that right now.
That's not due until March. And hopefully over the next, you know, 3 months, we will have made that much more progress in what we're doing, and it'll then become clear what aspects of it we can feature in a session.
I am envisioning something like, you know, how confident do you feel, you know, asking the people, okay, you've got a group of three in front of you or four that are just wandering around, and then you say, hey, you know, how confident do you think you can teach this thing? And then a little situation, and not to put them on the spot, but sort of like, oh, now that I really think about it. Something like that. But we do need a little paragraph in order to ask for financial support.
That's right.
A paragraph?
To register by.
It says, the application asks you to describe the primary interest attending me. It's got a short paragraph. It's fine. It's a registration grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when is that due?
That's due any time.
I think the sooner the better is my impression from this. They don't give you a due date.
But they know about us. I mean, they know that we have this many people in the clusters, and I'm sure they'll be kind of keeping a certain number of spaces set aside.
Yeah, the deadline for registration, I'm looking right now, is early registration is $160 up until April 1st.
April 1st. And by then we will have submitted our thing. So.
Yeah.
So I think that we need to add this. I think this needs to be a priority in January, though, because if it's due in March, we're only going to have phone calls in January and February to work on it. Right?
Agreed.
Actually, let me clarify the deadline. So what it says is that if you submit before March 1st, then you get feedback from the organizers by April 1st, but the final deadline actually isn't until May 1st. So the deadline is only March 1st if you want sort of early feedback. But if we feel confident that we will be fine with without their initial feedback, then we actually have until May 1st.
So who's the they?
Well, the committee people that, you know, Jackie Miller has assembled to review these.
I guess my question is, is anybody who participates in these cluster calls also part of that review committee?
I don't know who Jackie found
okay.
this year, because I know that me and the other guy from Ohio both stepped down from that committee for this year, so she had to replace both of us, and I don't know who she replaced us with.
Well, hey, guys, I hate to interrupt, but I got to run to my other meeting.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good holiday, and I guess I'll see you all in January.
Next year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye, Nate.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Well,
the conference call has ended.
Lee has left the building.
Yeah.
Because I'm right along with everybody else, so don't anybody take this personally, but I think we're avoiding our work we need to do. Which
you noticed, darn.
Which is kind of figuring this out. And I got to tell you honestly, I'm a little lost of where we need to go. I mean, Lee pointed out we've got some wording issues on several of the things that we've piloted. Our hope was to be able to pilot this with even more people next semester, right?
Right. So why don't we focus on cleaning things up with the first pilot and then try another run or try the actual study without the validation part so that we can start getting some results and start writing some papers.
Okay. So tell me what you supplied. Are we going to try both, the level A and the level B?
Uh-huh.
And did you just give it to him in a file, give it to Lee in the file like what you've sent to us?
No, we can, you know, clean that up in terms of, the results that Lee found, we can change the wording and make it more appropriate for the teachers and sort of what she was saying, adding a few words, including and putting some words that they're familiar with, and then have that as our final instrument, and then try to see if we can get our larger sample and run our first preliminary result.
Okay. As I'm recalling, Alejandra, you felt like you had a sizable number of pre-service teachers we could try this with. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. But now it's the end of the semester. So the question is, are we going to do a pre-post kind of thing, design? Do that, then we can, well, I can work over the holidays to clean the instrument up and be ready to have a pre-run at it. If that's the plan, and meanwhile be working on the validation piece. What do you guys think? I don't know at this point.
Yeah.
I know that we need to speed it up a little bit in terms of trying to get data out. You know, if we keep working on the instrument forever, then we're never going to get anywhere.
I've been looking at the students that I could pilot it with, and I have very few that are doing just middle school. I have like 7 people that I might be able to pilot it with, but I have a larger number of secondary education majors, and I don't know if we want to pilot it with them.
How about if we just grab a shot of anybody that we can, middle school, secondary, because the same here, although we have a larger cohort of middle, but they're just about, I would say, 20, 25 at most, and they're all scattered all over the place.
Okay.
Very hard to get a hold of them, but I can get easily the secondary in one classroom.
Okay.
You know, in 2 classrooms I can get, 40 or... So why don't we just try to get as much subjects as we can, as long as they're teachers?
Right.
And then, you know, if we don't want them, we can always exclude them.
Now you're talking about pre-service teachers.
Pre-service teachers,
yeah.
But, you know, Lee has access to in-service, so, well, to anyone that we can get.
Right.
I can probably have also access to in-service. So I think we should just grab whoever we can, and then we can always exclude them.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Okay, just in case it helps, I will be teaching 2 sections of, as I understand it, I will be teaching 2 sections of math for elementary majors, elementary education majors. It's the first course that they take, and so I don't really have a good handle on the content that's in there, and I don't know... what the syllabus for the course is, to be able to know like what all I might have access to. But there will be that. It just won't be. I don't feel comfortable committing to do that like very early in the semester until I figure out what all makes sense there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes any sense. I just don't want to do anything politically incorrect, you know, the day that I get there.
That's the great part.
Right? Well, you sort of learn, right?
Yeah. Well, it seems to me like it would make sense if we could plan on for our poster to at least give some results of having piloted the instrument.
Our
poster at ESCOT, don't you think?
Yeah, and sure, yes, and we have as a product the revised instrument.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think we've got to get the instrument.
And we also have the other piece, right, the one you and Felicity have been working on.
Right. We have the results of that. And that's why I was really hoping Felicity was going to be there, because I didn't know if we would be interested in making a separate poster about those results? Because this would be a lot to put in, to me, if we could get them so that they'd be side by side or something.
Yeah.
You know, the work with the standards and then the work with our instrument. I mean, to me, it'd be a lot to put on a single poster. I've done one of those, too. And really, to make it so people can visually be attracted to it, you don't want it to be too cluttered. You know what I'm saying?
Here's a thought, though. I mean, I don't know if I still haven't found Joan's email handy, but I don't know whether she really means that the entire cluster has to all be one thing, because if, you know, two of us could submit one piece of the work and two of us could submit another piece of the work as two different posters, and they can arrange to situate it side by side at the thing, and we could not, would that be better? I mean.
Yeah, I think so. Especially for us that we're like phase one and phase two kind of thing.
Right. And I'm also thinking about the stuff that Lee and TJ are doing with the literature review.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've done, I mean, we spent a long time doing those types of things, too, to support this. So it's kind of this idea of not having it, here are the instruments that are out there, and what do you think, TJ? Yay or nay? Or
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, just that we'd like to have three different poster things. One is our initial work with all the literature review and the types of instruments that are out there. It's kind of a historical view of what led us to, and then we did the state standards, and now we've developed our instrument. It's kind of like the three stages of our work.
And you don't think that's all one poster?
No.
No. I don't think so.
So are we going to divide up, like...
Or maybe we could make the state standards and the literature review one. I mean, I think we need both parts is what I'm... All three parts.
No, we could, I mean, we could have the subsets each do posters.
Yeah.
Right? Like Lee and I can do a poster, and you and Felicity can do a poster, and Alejandra and Larry can do a poster. And
yeah.
At some point, Lee and I will get better about involving Randy.
Well, I was thinking we could put you and Lee and Randy together, and we'd have a, whatever you guys are called, Larry. We'd have one of you aliens with
liaisons.
You know, what are you guys called? You're called the
liaisons
or
whatever we are. Okay.
Yeah, right. So we'd have one of you with each one of the posters and some of us with each one of the posters. I think that's...
That would work. And that kind of makes it kind of interactive, because it's like if we're all kind of on different thirds of a table, people have to kind of like make the rounds going from one station to the next one, to the next one, you know, they get the next phase of the project.
Yeah. I don't know. I just... Trying to make
Plus, it triples our chances that it will get in, right? They can't reject all three of them.
Yeah, we wouldn't think so. Surely you guys got some pull up there. But we put the, that's why I want to have these important names on each submission.
Ah.
See?
But the key is the interactive part.
Yeah.
So the people for literature review has the hardest time, because they need to think of how to make that interactive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we don't want just to be an expository type of thing, which by definition, that's what literature review is. You're just, and so you need to be clever about what is it that it's going to be interactive about.
No, we can do that.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
Here's our two questions from each instrument. What do you think? You know, give us your opinion or something. I don't know.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, some kind of little, you come in and take a, have a sample or whatever, something.
Was there a wireless connection last year, 2 years ago added? I'm trying to remember. Because, you know, you could have like a laptop set up to do some searching and displays on the spot even. I don't know.
Yeah, there might have been. There might have been.
Or take the instrument online.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Can we have it? Yeah, I'm sure we can have it electronically.
That would be good.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now we've kind of got a plan, and we know we're going to be working towards that, and that's got to be in our January call. So everybody can be thinking along the lines of what it is the group has to do. But right now, between now and January, Alejandra and Larry, it seems to me like we got to get this instrument, you know.
Yeah.
To a point where we can really use it and we gather, because I think we want to know, you know, we got to collect some demographics because we want to know what people, what group we're getting this in.
I agree.
Whatever we.
Yeah.
You know,
I can share the one that I have used in my past instruments and the one we did with Larry. And I stole some questions from other instruments that I worked with. In terms of the demographics part.
Okay. Okay.
Right, Larry?
Yeah, yeah.
The one we use. In...
Right.
Okay, very good. So I have a homework. I'll try to clean up the... Lisa, she sent me a message, so I need to look for that. Clean up the instrument and suggest a background section for everybody to look, and maybe it will take us, you know, not too long to finalize it and start the pre-administration as soon as the semester starts.
So then what are we aiming for as a deadline to finalize the instrument?
Yeah, good idea. Mm-hmm. I start classes the 20th.
I start the 12th.
I start the 20th.
So how soon in the semester? Like, is it supposed to be done the first week, the second week, the 10th week?
I'm thinking no later than the second week.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that means that we need to have a very close to final draft when we talk on the 16th so that we can... fix it up, and then Rebecca can give it the following week. Because Larry and Alejandra, your first week is Rebecca's second.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I can send off a...
And we could collect feedback over, by email, but well before the next meeting, or next call, right?
Yeah, so I'm thinking by the 5th of January, I can send what I have, and then people have a whole week or two to give it...
I think that sounds like a good deadline, and I'm glad you offered it up, Alejandra. So by January 5th, you'll have something to us email-wise. Is that what you mentioned?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm going to just, in these days in my life, I'm really frustrated with people who say they're going to do things and then they don't, so I'm going to just say straight up that I am probably not going to get anything done for you guys during those 2 weeks.
Don't worry,
I've got the joint meetings, and then classes start, and I'm a little freaked. So I'm just trying to be, you know, because I'm surrounded by these people who say they're going to do stuff, and then they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like,
oh,
no,
that's not
me. You're not going to do
oh,
it,
okay.
Right? So I'm gonna follow my own advice and tell you guys I'm not going to do it.
Well, you
will, just not then.
It's
right.
Okay. It's your turn not to do it. Next time will be someone else's. You know what I mean?
I think I've been not useful for about 6 months now, but I will get back on board, I promise.
Yeah. Because one of the other things I'm thinking on the demographics is that we'd want to ask the people, have you had a specific course or have your courses addressed statistics and probability? And I don't know if you have normally done that, because we might be catching students, you know, that are early on. In other words, I would have some freshmen.
Yes.
And they will not necessarily have been introduced to the topic at all.
Right.
And so I think we would want to know that, wouldn't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just throwing it out as...
Yeah, I have one that is very general, you know, how many graduate courses have, no, how many statistics courses have you taken beyond high school level?
Oh, good, good.
But,
right.
You know, we can be even more specific. You know, we can list out the topics and just check how many of these have been covered in your classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as we know, the intro to stat class varies too, so.
That's true. That's true.
It's not deterministic. It does vary.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea.
So that's the plan.
Okay.
That's absolutely, completely doable.
Okay.
And let's shoot for that. So, and then we'll try to, Larry, we'll work on the description for the poster so we can register or whatever, ask for the grant. Each person needs, each subset of people, I guess, should do that too, don't you think?
Well, you know, I'm rereading that email, and I think it's just a matter of describe your primary interest in attending USCOT. I think we would say that we are the research cluster, and we are submitting a poster. I mean, I don't think it has to be about.
Yeah,
our
I don't
project.
Think we have to do. Yeah, right.
I don't think it has to have specifics about what's going to be in the poster.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
I think we can just say that.
Right,
uh-huh.
Right. That's my understanding.
Don't you think so too, Larry? Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah,
we should tell our general topic.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Good.
Right. So if somebody comes up with something, you might just send it around to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. So because Alejandra, while we were talking here, I went and tried to register, do the lodging thing, and I got an error too. So I might just send email to say, do you realize this isn't working?
You can lodge a complaint.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just say, hey, you know, you can't make reservations at the hotel.
Right. So you got to lodge a complaint. Okay.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right.
We would like to roommate.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to room again, Alejandra?
Please.
Yeah, okay. Okay. So, how are we doing? We got a plan?
We got a plan. Yes. Wait for me to the beginning of the year, and then everybody needs to. Give feedback and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll shoot in by the next time we meet to have a final version to be ready to be administered.
Right. And then I wanted to comment, too. I really like these initial sample problems that you have. I think they're really excellent, and I think we can come up with more of those, but I think that's got to be our second task.
Yes, I agree too. It's just that it's a long project on its own. I realize that, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to stop that from the first part.
Right.
But what I like is that our project is very, you know, it's not a one shot thing, and it's building up very nicely, and it's going to pay off quite well at the end.
I agree. I think it gets a little daunting here as we trudge through the stuff that's got to be done.
Right.
You know,
just get excited about all those ideas.
Yes, right.
And it's a little bit of, I have to be honest, it's a little bit on my own excitement because that's the part that I like most. And so I hear, you know, I go that way by just tendency or whatever.
But with the sample problems. You mean?
Yeah, with the content part and the
items. She's awesome at it. She's great.
No,
yeah.
I already have another set.
Oh, you do? Wow, that's great.
That's and so, but they're deep. So it's like, oh my goodness,
mm-hmm.
getting a little bit. But anyways, and then I was just thinking that we can do a paper on. Assessing trajectory, learning trajectory in big ideas and stats or middle school or whatever. You know, because what we're doing, level A, level B business,
uh-huh.
the learning trajectory, right?
Yeah.
And so this items that I'm envisioning are have that nature because I wanted to grab both of them in one item. And so that's a very nice tool for teachers to learn how to assess a learning trajectory.
Ah.
So you want your kids to be here, but you're also trying to assess what they know. If they don't answer this one correctly, you don't learn anything. But if you have this the previous knowledge part, then the assessment is more useful.
Uh-huh.
This is the reason behind why we did level A to begin with, right? We were worried that we're not going to learn anything because we already knew that those expectations are higher than the ones that are in all the state standards. And so that's why we went to level A. And statistics is one of the few areas in math education that has actually a learning trajectory in the big ideas. And geometry, too, with the Van Hila levels, right? But now this is the big talk now with people that develop curriculum, for example. You know, they're trying to understand what comes before, what comes after, and how the teachers need to be aware of this vision. And I mentioned in this conference that I went that it's the STEPS, we have the framework that does precisely that. And so by building these items, I'm thinking that that's exactly what we're doing. We're trying to now create an assessment tool that captures this learning trajectory, and we can even add the C part. Anyways, that's another project.
No kidding.
But it's just one thing, you know, leads to another exciting thing. Anyway, so that's just nice to be able to have our brains alive in that respect.
No kidding. I mean, that's inspirational.
So if anyone is up for that.
One thing that reminds me of is in the handbook of research on mathematics teaching and learning, the first edition, which was like 1992, I think, Shaughnessy's chapter on Probenstat, late in that chapter he identifies a four-level hierarchy of, I guess, probabilistic reasoning levels, and I that has sort of a loose parallel to the Van Hila kind of stuff. But that's not going to get as specific as these stats things, but it was really strictly on probability.
Okay. Yeah. And other people have looked at hierarchical thinking and hierarchical reasoning. But this one I like because it's more like in terms of kids and levels that match the school. And it's quite useful for teachers, as opposed to the hierarchical models, others that are more for research tools.
Right.
Something. So.
Although here the goal is you want teachers to produce C students.
Right. And how do you know where they are? Right. And teachers had a hard time differentiating between these levels.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know when, you know, it's like, okay, they don't even recognize the big idea and how it develops.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Absolutely. Well, I hate to tell you, but we've gone over time, so perhaps we want to close this off. We have our next meeting already set, our next conference call, which is January 16th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Ella tiene razón.
One more time?
Ella tiene razón.
Ella tiene razón. Right.
Okay.
She's right.
Yeah. And Alejandra has an assignment to complete by January 15th.
Sí, señora.
No. Yeah, January 5th, not 15th, 5th, 5. 5.
Sí, señora.
Cinco.
And,
Okay, so since this is still being recorded, everybody say hi, Lee. Talk
hi,
to
Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Hi, Lee.
Listen, Feliz Navidad, everybody.
Yeah, I sent her a message to say, have you forgot about us, and sent her the number, but apparently she's gotten caught up. So, TJ, is it Lee that's supposed to send out the minutes?
Yeah, that's why she wanted this recorded, because she's going to do it. She's going to listen to it and then write it up.
Thank you for doing that, guys.
Yeah. Super.
Yeah.
Super.
She
good
said
deal.
She felt obligated too, since she had to cut out early. So.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like we're in good shape.
Yep.
Happy
Merry
holidays,
Christmas, everyone. As Alejandra said. Yep.
Yeah.
I guess it's not Christmas for everybody, right? Yes. Happy holidays. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. Happy.
Feliz año nuevo.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.